creation story is, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Did it happen exactly as it's written there? Or is it a way to describe something indescribable, something mysterious that a society who did not have the scientific knowledge that society today has would know? I said this a few weeks ago. It was in February, Evolution Sunday. Let me repeat it. Evolution happened. It happens. And will continue to happen. It takes place over long, long periods of time. And that's science. God is the creator of the universe. God created, creates, and will continue to create. We learn about that through religion. And science and religion have coexisted for as long as people have been thinking. Science and religion are not at odds. Science is not attacking religion, and religion is not attacking science. But not everyone agrees with that. People attack religion all the time. People attack science all the time. Some of the great scientific minds of humanity have been attacked by religion. Some of the great religious minds of humanity have been attacked by science. But science and religion themselves, you know, they get along just fine. They're not trying to fight with one another. In this week's weekly email, I put a graphic on there with a, if you got the email, you saw a picture of a kid with big glasses and a beaker in his hands. It's a very scientific-looking kid. And it says, in the United Church of Christ, we explore, celebrate, hypothesize, believe, question, and pray. No matter who you are or what project you're working on, you're welcome here. Another time I've put some things up there that said, even churches evolve, kind of a thing like that. Or there's room here for rocket scientists and all other kinds of scientists, too. Sometimes I think it's hard to be religious and science-y at the same time. Religion appreciates mystery. Like the mystery of the Trinity. This is Trinity Sunday. God existing in three. God existing in community. In the story of creation, before humankind is created, let us create humankind. Let us make humankind in our image. And this is God speaking. And of course, if the Trinity is something that you have to follow and it has to be that way, you say, look, there it is. There's the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together saying, let's create this. It doesn't say that, but you can put it in there. It just says, let us. God who exists in community. It's a mystery to try to understand how can God be three and one? How can God be more than one yet one? So the Trinity is a beautiful mystery that theologians try to explain and try to make sound like it's exactly this. When really, when all is said and done, we don't get it. We say it. Maybe we experience it. We've got names for it. But it's a mystery. And do you know what the Trinity is not? It's not a litmus test that says, if you don't believe it this way, and if you don't understand it exactly this way, you can't be part of the God club. Because we're different. We have different ideas. We have different experiences. We have different beliefs. We have different preferences. I like it this way. I don't like it this way. And in our religious experience, we get to have those beliefs, those preferences, those ideas, and also appreciate that God is a mystery. And somehow, I don't know how, but somehow God acknowledges all of our preferences and all of our ideas and all of these things and says, as God looks at creation and says, this is good. This is good that there are so many different thoughts And we look at it and say, no, this is not good because not everyone is uniform. We don't have all the same ideas. We're not doing the same thing. How can we get along? And God says, I exist in community. Come on. This is good. I created so many different things. And then some people say, but if you created it in 7 days, then evolution can't happen. And God says, really, please, please, do you understand the difference between science and religion? The Bible is not a science book. Not at all. If you try to base science on the Bible, what you're going to get is science based on the knowledge, okay, inspired by God. We don't have to go right there with, you know, why is the Bible inspired and is it inerrant and all that, but still written by the minds of people, men from a long time ago who did not understand the world as we understand it now. Their ideas were different. Yet at the same time, because they're religious ideas, they're timeless. All of us have the idea, let's see, this is the right way to do things. Those notions that we cling to those like Velcro, or we cling to those like Velcro infused with glue. Some of the things that we cling to are really worth going to battle over. But so many others just aren't. I think the creation versus evolution cling to that some people have is not worth it. Why try to pit religion against science in that way? Why in the 16th, 15th, 14th century did we jail people with ideas that are now commonplace? Because they went against the religious litmus test of it has to be this way, otherwise it can't exist. Otherwise it's not good. You can't think that way. We don't think that way anymore. In the United Church of Christ, we explore, celebrate, hypothesize, believe, question, and pray. No matter who you are or what project you're working on, you're welcome here. All those things. There's mystery and science intertwined in that. We explore. We explore our faith. We explore the world outside. We explore things that we don't understand, try to understand them, and also know that we can't understand everything. We hypothesize. We wonder. We celebrate. We celebrate the unity that we have. We celebrate the diversity that we have. We believe and we question. We have faith, and we want to know the answers to an awful lot of things. Full well knowing that we can't ever know the answers to everything, but boy, we try. This is one of the beautiful things about post-modernity, yeah, and moving forward. In the modern world, you remember that sermon where I was talking to myself a year ago? In the modern world, we have to have answers to everything. They all have to fit into this little compartment, and that's the way it has to be. In the postmodern world, there is mystery. It goes back to the mystery that we had in the beginning when we didn't quite understand, and instead we tried to explain it in ways that people could understand, fully recognizing that it didn't answer all the questions. You're going to cling to something? There are good things to cling to. They are biblical principles, they are human principles. They are principles that people of faith and people with no faith can agree on, like human rights. You want to cling to something? Cling to human rights. Make it about treating people, especially those who have been historically marginalized, with respect and dignity. Make it about being a people of an extravagant welcome. That's what we are, or at least what we are supposed to be, an extravagant welcome, where there isn't a litmus test that says, if you believe the Trinity this way or that way, or if you're not sure what it means, you're allowed or not allowed, or if you have this particular way of thinking or this particular style of living, whatever it is, you're allowed or not allowed. Respect and dignity are human principles. They are Christian principles. They are faith principles. Make it about taking Jesus' commands to love God and to love each other seriously. Jesus said it, and it makes sense. Those are the two most important things. And I know that there is more than that in life. But things got to flow from there. And what if you're a person of no faith? How can you love God? Well, how about love one another? We can do that. And people of faith know that those two are so intertwined that they just can't be separated. They're like Velcro infused with glue. Love one another. You want to cling to something? Make it be about including instead of excluding. You want to cling to something? Make it about looking at humanity, looking at all of creation, and acknowledging this is good. Amen.